to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Christine Brim, one of the people I admire most in Washington these days. She is the executive director of a new organization, the Center for Policy Communications. Very proud to say, for many years, she was a chief operating officer of the Center for Security Policy, has been a valued colleague and an extraordinary resource in the public policy world, particularly as it relates to protecting freedom, which is, of course, what we're all about. Christine Brim, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Frank, it's great to be here and to talk to your audience.
Thank you. Well, listen, we're interested particularly in the work you've been doing on freedom of speech lately. And partly, I just would like to sort of level set with you as to what is going on here. We're being buffeted by kind of conflicting polls, some of which have said by a margin of 85 to 8, I believe, two of them for that matter, McLaughlin and Rasmussen, that the public overwhelmingly supports freedom of speech, even if it might offend some people. But certain populations or subsets of the population, particularly college students and some minorities, are actually saying, no, we don't want to be offended. That's certainly true of certain folks in the Muslim community. Where are we on freedom of speech? Is it at risk here, even though we have constitutional guarantees to protect it?
Well, I think that at this point in history, freedom of speech, freedom of expression is under attack as it never has been before, possibly centuries ago. But the sheer scope of the ability of social media companies and international governments, the European Union, others, to completely stop freedom of speech is greater than it has been in the past. And we see the influence, for example, of the European Union kind of creeping into the understanding of people in the U.S. As to the difference between those two poles, I think the bedrock red America, red state America, the people that not only elected Trump, but just are generally representative of the majority of American citizens, absolutely are committed to the First Amendment, have some understanding of what's in it, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, which would mean that, for instance, the concept of a hate group is legally really shouldn't be defined in law. But I think that what we see are small groups of subsets who have been taught from kindergarten on or have been heavily propagandized to, but particularly for students, that there is no such thing as a valid constitution, that the founders were all racists and white supremacists, that the very concept of the United States of America is a kind of historical violation of some utopian ideal, and on and on.
So you're basically saying that this freedom of speech fight is a subset of a larger assault on the Republic, really, the Constitution that makes it possible.
By attacking freedom of speech as the first battle, if you will, against the Constitution and against the very idea of America, this enables them, potentially the left, the hard left, to then go after every aspect of constitutional liberties. What we're seeing in a concerted kind of coordinated effort here is an extraordinary attack in the United States that is being done at multiple levels. It's being done with a resolution that just passed and became a public law because it was a joint resolution, which brought into law for the first time the terms xenophobic, hate group, anti-immigrant, as if without defining them, but making them something which we, as a country now, Trump signed it, all repudiate. So the precedent is set that those terms now actually mean something. We see it in, of course, the activities of the Southern Poverty Law Center and related groups. We see it across a host of efforts by large tech companies, be it Google or YouTube, to begin censoring content. We see it in the deplatforming of Twitter, Facebook, go on and on. And all of these groups, it's important to keep in mind, signed in May of 2016 an agreement with the European Union saying that they would enforce European laws against hate speech, which was specifically defined at that time as xenophobic, So all of them agreed that they would enforce European Union laws.
So let's talk a little bit about it. You've been very much involved in and monitoring what's happening in Europe for some time, also Canada, I believe. What is the template that we must expect if we accede to these kinds of, well, extensions of European Union hate speech restrictions into our country, Christine Brim? And the larger agenda that's behind, it would appear, this resolution, which more than 70 groups in our country and individuals, many of them quite prominent leaders in expressing sentiments that are deemed to be unacceptable by some, have written to the congressional leadership and to the president protesting this law and the possibility that there may be more in the wings. Talk about that, if you would, too.
Well, and there is a law in the wings, Senate Bill 662, the so-called No Hate Act, and that would, in fact, begin implementing the European model. And the European model is what we're seeing implemented already here in outside of law, which is traditionally we have crimes, and then if there's a bias component, we call it a hate crime. That's the way that this has been done since the late 90s in the United States. However, or actually since the late 80s, 1980s. However, what's being done now is an effort to expand that to any incident of hate, which doesn't mean there's a crime involved. It means someone decides that hate was involved, and including hate speech, and of course the broadly defined, anyone can call it, hate group. All of these terms are institutionalized in law in Europe and are used to shut down typically not just groups that may in fact be, you know, violent, which is a different issue, but they're used to shut down any group that is critical of the far left agenda or the Islamist agenda. And by shut down, I don't just mean that they, you know, ban you from Twitter or the kinds of things we're seeing for U.S. groups. No, I mean people go to jail. People go to court, they're fined, and sometimes people go to jail. So we're seeing this now, for example, one quick example, besides the various lists that the Southern Poverty Law Center puts together, which are blacklists, which become, as we know, hate lists, hit lists, because they influenced shooters, both of Stephen Scalise and Floyd Corkins was the shooter who attacked the Family District Council. But we also see, give you a quick example, the American Bar Association, in cooperation with the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Southern Poverty Law Center, ProPublica, and a George Soros-funded new entity for this year called Communities Against Hate, which into which he has put tens of millions of dollars to fund close to 100 groups, including many branches of care, to begin doing this infrastructure of the hate racket. All of these groups coalesced into a website called Hate Crime Help. And Hate Crime Help is a place where people can report so-called bias incidents or what they call verbal hate, which is the first type of infraction that they list in a drop-down list. And it is so appallingly outside of equal protection under the law. Just to give you one quick example, if you report gender as a bias motivation, you are only given the option of gender female. There is no gender male, which can be used as a bias motivation. So this kind of thing is going on widespread to create a parallel infrastructure. I call it the hate racket at this point, because people are raising money on this.
Yeah, they are making money on it, and they are also silencing people, at least beginning to intimidate some, and in due course will, if they have their way, prosecute others of us. Christine Brim, you are at the forefront of this fight. Thank you for the work you're now doing at the Center for Policy Communications. I know you'll keep it up, and I hope you'll come back to us again very soon, and the rest of you will do the same tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.